when I was about 4 years old, my father moved the whole family to Western Siberia in Novosibirsk. So I actually went to elementary school and high school and university in that city of Novosibirsk.
Did the communist propaganda affect you at school?
Of course you're affected by communist propaganda. Although they never called themselves communists, they called themselves communists, but the propaganda was never called communist propaganda inside Russia. It was not even propaganda. It was just the pressure they exerted, the information they would put on the people, into the people's ears, and they were limiting every other source of information. So we were always subject to so-called propaganda. Of course, since I was born. I mean, since I was in the school, even in kindergarten. So all the time.
Were you ever a member of a communism party?
No, I never was a member of the communist party. And even my father was never a member of the communist party. But by not being a member of the Communist Party, you had to live with the consequences of not, you know, being a member. When I was, when I was, 7 years old, I believe, I was accepted. I applied. Everybody did. And was accepted to the organization similar to the Boy Scout organization here in America. But it was called, you know, Young Pioneers, meaning Communist Youth Organization. So, which was then, when you turned 14, and I was 14 when I was accepted to the next level of a young communist organization called Komsomol in Russian. And I remember vividly the exam which I was subjected to. When they asked me a single question, they asked me to name three countries which belong to the Eastern Bloc controlled by the Soviet Union, Eastern European countries. And when I easily named three countries, that was more than enough. And I was gladly accepted to become a young communist. And I didn't last very long being young communist organization. When I entered university, when I was accepted to the university, I was 18 years old. I stopped paying any membership fees into this organization. And by that virtue, I stopped being a member. But nevertheless, they never accepted people not being a member if you ever was a member. So they kept saying that you're still a member, although I never paid any duties. The duties were pretty nominal, by the way. It was not much. We didn't have any money anyway as students. Our stipend was barely enough for maybe 1 week of cheap dining. And we were receiving monthly stipends at the university. So, and when it comes to, you know, becoming a member of the Communist Party, there were, I just want to remind you, that out of 230 or 250, I believe, population of the Soviet Union, only 17 million were communists. So, you know, it's like 17, like less than 10%. So, and it did become a privileged place where people would join the party, receiving some perks in the form of apartments, in the form of the promotion. Let's just distinguish between the paper communism, which probably people could refer to a book written by Karl Marx, and the real communism, which had only foundations of that communism, which was developed in the former Soviet Union. Those are very different systems. And if Karl Marx communism, I would consider an utopia. So the Soviet communism was a harsh reality. And it was very different, as I said, from the paper, theoretical communism, which is just a utopical, nice idea that we eventually will live in a society where everybody will be contributing by its capabilities, and everybody would be consuming by its own necessities, by its own needs. So you would be free to consume whatever is needed for you by your family, and you would be free to contribute as much as you can for the common good.
What has prevented you from leaving Russia when you wanted to?
In the Soviet Union, people were having difficulties even to move around within the Soviet Union. Even within Russia, which was one of the republics of the Soviet Union, if you would want to change your place of residence, let's say you want to move from Novosibirsk to Moscow, that was a big, big problem. Actually, as a matter of fact, I tried to do that, and I couldn't make it. Because there were special stamps in your passport identifying the place of your residence. And if you want to change, you wanted to change the place of the residence, you had to put another up to get an approval from the local authorities. And such approval could come only in the form of approving you living in this particular apartment. Now, you have to remember that all the apartments, all the houses, all the buildings were all property of the government. So the only way you could be granted an apartment was through the government. It's through your, typically, you're getting it through your job. Now, if you want to move from one city to another, it's up to you to make an exchange of the apartment. Somebody got to move out of Moscow for you to come in. So you had to find somebody who is willing to go to the city of Novosibirsk and live there in your apartment, and while you will go and live in their apartment. Sometimes those exchanges were chain exchanges. Somebody would go to Odessa, which is a city in Ukraine. Somebody from Odessa will go to Kyiv, which is another city in Ukraine, for example. Somebody from Kyiv would go to Novosibirsk, and somebody from Novosibirsk would go to Moscow, and somebody from Moscow to go to Kyiv. So you have to find that and close that chain of exchanges. So to answer your question, as I said, the police controlled your movements even within the country. To go outside the country, you could go only if you were sent as a tourist. You went as a tourist. Now, the tourists were very limited countries you could visit as a tourist. Now, to get a tourist visa, you had to go through all kinds of approvals. And I had applied several times to go to some Eastern Bloc countries, and I was always rejected. They would never approve my tourist visa. Now, if you go on a business trip, you have to be sent, if you're a scientist, you have to be sent by your scientific institution, by your university. And it was, again, a very stringent set of approvals you have to get to be allowed to go to the conference or to any scientific meeting. So it was a very difficult and very highly regulated and watched by authorities, procedure. So in other words, the country was completely closed. Nobody leaves unless I say so.
How soon did you learn about the collapse of the Soviet Union?
As soon as it collapsed, immediately. As a matter of fact, in 1991, on August 19, I was at the point in the Russian White House when the Soviet Union was in the process of being, of collapsing, because Gorbachev was already supposedly detained on his dacha in Crimea. There was a coup in Moscow. Yeltsin was at that time president of Russia, and Yeltsin pulled Russia out of the Soviet Union, and that was the collapse. But if you would ask me if I expected that to happen at the time when I left Russia, I would say, by no means. I had no idea. I would never imagine that the Berlin Wall would fall 2 years after, in 1989. And another 2 years will take for the Soviet Union to fall apart. I never could imagine that.
And what do you think led to the collapse of the Soviet Union?
It's a complicated question, but, it was very... It's still complicated. Some people like to attribute that to the race, which was, caused by economic race, caused by desire of the United States to deploy strategic defense initiative. Russians were strongly opposed to that. That was one of the contentious points in negotiations between Reagan and Gorbachev, even in October 1986. So one explanation is that the economic pressure which Soviet Union was put under, trying to withstand the race, the Cold War race with the United States. But that could be one of the reasons. But I think there was also something growing inside, in the form of, at least for some people, understanding that, the life may not be continued as it was, that it may not be economically beneficial for the Soviet Union to stay isolated as it was before. And also there were some democratic movements outside Soviet Union, like Solidarity Movement in Poland. There was also, movements in Czechoslovakia. So there was, the whole system was in a little disarray. And the question for the Soviet leaders, particularly for Gorbachev at that time, was, how do you handle that? How do you maintain the equilibrium? How do you get the best out of this situation, if you can? And how do you make the Soviet Union more powerful? And that's what Gorbachev wanted. He didn't want to destroy the Soviet Union. And he just wanted to have... Now I realize that what they would love to have is something similar to what we have now in China. To keep the freedoms down, the political freedoms are non-existent or almost non-existent, but the economic freedoms are there to some extent. So if Russia would succeed in that, or Soviet Union would succeed in that, they could be as powerful as China now. Except that there was no culture to work hard, and there was no culture of high-level manufacturing as it appears to be in China. Chinese were very adaptive. Russians were much more, oriented on the political freedoms than on economic freedoms. And so it may not be possible to turn Russia in a pure economic way to the capitalism while maintaining full control of everything else politically. So at least it didn't happen that way. But I would assume that Gorbachev did not want the Soviet Union to collapse. What happened, that he was quite liberal in Politburo among all the other top leaders, and some more conservative people, conservative to the right, meaning conservative to the communist side, at least in Russia.
and people to the left would be more liberal democratic type. And there was a conflict between Gorbachev and some more conservative top leaders of the Communist Party, and this conflict in 1991 led to a coup which lasted only 3 days. Now, Yeltsin at that time was a president of Russia. Russia was still a part of the Soviet Union, but as you can imagine, Russia being the largest and the most powerful republic out of 15, when Yeltsin announced that Russia pulls out of the Soviet Union, that essentially was indication of the collapse of the Soviet Union, because it was followed immediately by resignation out of the Soviet Union of multiple other republics. So the collapse occurred completely unpredictably and in a very fast manner. But the initiator of that collapse was actually Boris Yeltsin, who moved Russia, being the president of Russia, newly elected president of Russia, he moved Russia out of the Soviet Union.
I see. Well, thank you for the time that you spent with me.